everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. This is the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise Passion Series. My name is Chris Atwood. I'm the Features Editor for Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, and it is my pleasure and delight to be able to welcome you as the host of the Passion Call. This series was inspired by my partner's book, The Passion Test, Discovering Your Personal Secrets to Living a Life on Fire. And what we have discovered, and I'm sure that many of you have discovered as well, is that every single person in the world, everyone who's on the line has unique gifts. Each one of you is special, and it's your passions which are the keys, the clues to your own personal destiny, to the reason that you're here on the planet. These calls are for the purpose of connecting all of us with people who have been incredibly successful at living their own passions, and in that process, to learn from them how they discovered their passions, how they overcame the obstacles that came up along the way, and how we can begin to live those passions, our own passions, in our life. Live a passionate, fulfilled, joyful life, abundant life. Those of you who are not members yet of our Real Life Legends Club, or if you have not yet gotten one of our free CDs, then I want to encourage you to do that. All you have to do to get a CD of one of our interviews with either, and it's your choice, either Dr. John Gray, the author of Men for Mars, Women for Venus, or Dr. Stephen Covey, the author of Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, or Dr. Dennis Waitley, the author of the best-selling Psychology of Winning. All you have to do is go to www.healthywealthy, the letter N is in Nancy, wise.com. Healthy, Wealthy, the letter N is in Nancy, wise.com, and then click on step number 2, and you can pick one of those 3 CDs. It'll be sent to you. You just pay the shipping and handling, and you'll also get a 30-day trial of our Real Life Legends Club membership so that you can go into our archives and listen to the interviews that we've done with people like Neil Donald Walsh and Jay Abraham and the ones, if you don't get the CD, you can listen to Dennis Waitley and Stephen Covey and many, many others. John Athrath, incredible interviews. All of those are available to you. Just go to Healthy Wealthy, the letter N is in Nancy, wise.com, and click on step number 2, and you can get that free CD. For all of you, let's get on to tonight. We have an amazing guest, a man who is truly a legend in the field of internet marketing. He's the best-selling author of many books, but he's most widely recognized for his breakthrough bestseller, MindControlMarketing.com, which rose to number 1 within 48 hours of its release. Mark Joyner is one of the early pioneers of internet marketing. He's responsible for introducing many of the technologies and tactics that you see used on the internet today. Things like ebooks, remotely hosted ad tracking, integration marketing. Mark has been the driving force also behind many top 100 web properties. One of them shot to number 36 out of billions of websites within 6 weeks of its release. That's an amazing accomplishment. He wrote an ebook that was downloaded over 1 million times, at least when he stopped counting in 1998, and he turned his fledgling one-man operation into a multi-million dollar international corporation with customers in every internet-connected country on the planet. Mark is an absolutely amazing, incredible individual, an individual also who has a great range. He has a great range not only in the internet marketing field where he's a genius, but a great range in terms of his commitment to improving the world that we live in, and I'm looking forward to our exploring some of that tonight. It is my pleasure and delight to introduce my co-host, who will be actually interviewing Mark, one of Mark's good friends now, I can say, and partners. Telman Knudsen of the List Crusade is also someone that Janet and I have worked with in watching him as he has skyrocketed to become one of the leaders in the internet marketing world himself in just the last year. He's attracted some of the top people in the world, speakers, authors, and trainers, people like Mark Victor Hansen and Bob Allen and top internet marketers like Mark Joyner and Joe Vitale and others into the List Crusade, and you can check out what Telman does by going to listcrusade.com as well. So, Telman, are you there?
I'm here.
Thank you so much for being with us, and I want to turn it over to you and ask you to bring on our guest, if you would.
All right. Well, you know, it's going to be a really, really amazing, amazing experience tonight, because there's nothing that I like more than learning from Mark Joyner. He's been an absolute inspiration to me, both in terms of really opening my mind, marketing-wise and tactic-wise, but more importantly, really helping to clarify my own vision, my own purpose, and my own target, which you'll be learning a little bit more about targets a little bit later on this evening from Mark, I'm sure. Wouldn't you agree with that? Are you there, Mark?
Yes, sir.
All right. So how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
That's fantastic. Fantastic.
And Mark and Telman, may I interrupt for just 1 second?
Sure.
One thing that I wanted to acknowledge you for, Mark, thank you again for being here. And those of you who are on the line who registered specifically for this call, then you know that Mark gave a fabulous, incredible gift, which you hopefully are already taking advantage of. And for those of you who did not register specifically for this call, I want to be sure, in case you have to leave early for any reason, that you have the opportunity to get that gift. And it's an amazing 18-part course that's absolutely free, and you can go to Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, Healthy, Wealthy, the letter N as in Nancy, Wise.com/joiner, J-O-Y-N-E-R, and get the gift that Mark will be talking about, I think, during this interview. Won't you, Mark?
Absolutely.
Good, good, good. So, Telman, I'll turn it back over to you. I just had to get that in. Thank you.
All right. Beautiful, beautiful. So, you know, one of the things that really caused this call to happen was the release of Mark's new program, and it really reflects a lot, I think, Mark, on where you're coming from in terms of why you've achieved the level of success that you have. I know that going through that program has really opened my eyes in a lot of ways and is actively today helping me to really focus in and take the next step forward. So considering, you know, we're talking about passions here tonight, if you're ready for it, I'd like to jump right in and get going on this and talk more about your program a little bit more as we go forward.
But
beautiful, beautiful. Well, the first question I have for you is pretty direct, and it's how did your passions, you know, the things that really mean something to you, the reasons that you get up in the morning, the things that, you know, when you're thinking about them, they just light up in your eyes and you get excited. How did those passions, those things that are so very, very important, really lead you to exactly what you're doing today?
It's a great question. Well, I would just say that, you know, I got to a point where I had to stop doing things that I wasn't as passionate about. And it's an interesting topic, and a lot can be said about it. And I have to kind of caveat a lot of what I'm about to say. Passion is important for a tremendous number of reasons. Well, first of all, if you're doing something that you're not passionate about, you're going to get to a point where you're having a hard time. And if that passion isn't there to push you through those hard times, you're simply going to stop. You're going to give up, you know. Here's the thing. There are a lot of contributing factors to what will make someone successful, but passion is sort of a trump card. You know, if you are passionate about something, it's going to propel you through a lot of problems, and it's going to make a lot of roadblocks that would otherwise be there that you would have to learn how to navigate disappear, because you're just going to steamroll right over them, okay? But here's the thing. A lot of people get hung up on this, and they go, oh, I don't know what my passion is, and I've got to go take a year off and find out what my passion is, you know. And, I mean, and this is great, you know. I mean, if you have the luxury where you can actually take a year off and find out what your passion is, and, you know, you're not going to leave your family in the lurch, or you're not going to, you know, let go of any responsibilities, hey, go do that, you know. But in the meantime, don't let it slow down the pace of your life. You know, I mean, this is one of the things that we do in Simpleology. You know, and this is the course you're referring to that can be found at that URL. You know, we tell people, look, you need to focus everything that you want on a target about which you are passionate. However, if you don't know what that is right now, don't get hung up on that. Find something else. There's always a minor thing that you can find along the way. If you don't know what your one big dream is right now, I bet you anything, if we sat down together and talked for just 2 minutes, you could come up with 10 things that you really, really want that you would easily be able to find a path toward. Okay? So it's a very simple question that you asked, but I think that there's a lot of back knowledge that has to go along with that. So that's the reason for the long-winded answer there.
Sure, sure. So when you're talking about your passions, you know, I mean, you just touched on this. You know, many of the listeners right now, this very moment, aren't entirely clear about how to discover their passions, how to find their passions.
Yes.
For you personally, how did you discover what you're most passionate about? I mean, you say that, you know, you don't want to take a lot of time off, and you don't want to let it slow down your life in order to find out what you're passionate about. So, you know, how has that worked for you? How have you integrated that into your own life?
Well, I'll tell you a story, and this is a story I bet everyone listening can relate to. You know, I didn't get into entrepreneurialism because I had this burning desire to be a great internet marketer. You know, it just wasn't the case. I mean, first of all, there weren't any internet marketers when I got into this, you know. I mean, it was me and a handful of guys who kind of around the same time started doing it, you know. Corey Rudel, may he rest in peace, was starting it around the same time. You know, a lot of us were doing, you know, some of the same things. And I don't think any of us really, you know, said, I'm going to be the best internet marketer in the world. I don't think any of us, like, started out our day with that. It just sort of ended up like that, that a lot of us were successful in it. But here's the thing. You know, what did I really want to be when I was younger and I still have a certain amount of passion for? Who knows? Maybe it's my true passion. I don't know. I wanted to be a musician. I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to be an actor. And I've been able to carry on and do some of those things throughout my time, but my original thought when I joined the Army many, many years ago, back in 1990, I didn't say I want to be a great soldier. What I said was, you know what, I got to get my act in gear so I can build a foundation in my life so that I can then put myself in a situation where I can be, you know, a musician professionally. I didn't have any illusions of, you know, walking into some studio someday and being discovered. You know, I was very lucky to learn very early on that simply doesn't happen. You know, a lot of people think, wow, you know, I'm just going to go in there and make it work. You know, somebody's going to see how great I am. You know, if you know anything about the music industry, you'll very quickly learn that's just not how it works. You know, it's a business just like any other. So I said, you know, I've got to get my own money so that I can do something for myself. And then over time, I lost sight of that, you know. And I think that most of the people listening on this call have probably done that too. In their hearts, they probably knew what they wanted to do, but now they're drawn to things like business or something else as a vehicle, you know, that can pull them away from their life of slavery in their job, right? There's a Mark Twain construct, which I know you guys are going to ask about later, but it talks about, it hasn't been published yet, but it's all about what I call fixation. And fixation has to do with the phenomenon of your brain only being able to focus a certain amount of attention on one thing at a time. And this happens on a micro level in the moment, and it happens at a macro level in your life. If your life is fixated on chasing the buck and trying to find out where your next meal is going to come from, do you think you are ever going to have the time to be able to do what it takes to become a great blank, whatever that thing is that you want to be? Of course not, right? So we all go through this. So what happened to me was, you know, I joined the military. You know, was successful in the military. I started out as an enlisted soldier in military intelligence, was trained in the Korean language, and worked basically as a spy, as an enlisted soldier for several years in the military intelligence community, doing various different things. Then I became an artillery officer. I was selected to, you know, to go to officer candidate school. And, you know, in my career, you know, I realized, hey, I'm going to be getting out soon. Now let's dabble in some business stuff, you know. And it was my dabbling in that business that allowed me to start those businesses. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but I actually almost never started taking it more seriously. At around the time of 1998, I was already very, very successful with my business, even though I was still in the Army. And I actually was selected to go to the FBI Academy to be a special agent. And to make a long story short, that never happened for me. I ended up, for various reasons, focusing on my business. And, you know, hey, the rest is history. So here I am now, right? But it's interesting, you know, along the way, I have found myself becoming passionate about certain things. You know, I was very passionate about internet marketing for a long time and still am, although I don't want to be an internet marketing guru or expert or anything like that anymore. That's just not where my heart is now. But in those times, everyone was very excited about the internet and people were willing to listen to what I had to say, and I rode that wave. And in that moment, that passion hit me. So it's interesting, you know, I look at what actually happened in my life, and I have to say, you know, I don't know if I ever woke up one day and said, this is my passion and I'm doing it. Right now, the things that I'm doing are probably closer to what I'm truly passionate about more than anything I've done in the past, and I think as a result, I'll probably be more successful. But I just wanted to give some examples here of how, you know, all that time, you know, we sold millions and millions of dollars of products and services. We were extremely successful. I still, in my heart, wasn't 100% passionate about what I wanted to do. I didn't say, you know what, I'm going to be an internet marketing expert until my last breath. I never, ever said that. Who knows? Maybe that's why I closed the business, right? Maybe that's where I am now. But I just wanted to give that example so people can understand, hey, look, if you don't know what it is yet, don't worry. You can still experience tremendous success, but by all means, you know, if you can tap into that, it's going to be a tremendous force in your life, but don't let it stop your life while you don't know what it is.
Okay, so you're saying that you can have multiple different passions or interests going on at a time, and sometimes you're able to fixate on some of them and move to others, but that at least for you, that changed over time, and while you were working on things, you weren't necessarily absolutely 110% on it, but you were really, really involved. And did everything you possibly could with it? Is that an accurate statement?
Pretty much. And I think one really important distinction here is that, and this is one of the laws of simpleology, well, there are two laws in simpleology that deal with your focus. And in those times when I was doing those things, a tremendous amount of my focus was on being successful in one particular thing or another. Now, we had... One of the problems with ESOP Marketing Corporation was that we became unfocused. We had way too many things going on. We had way too many subsidiaries. And eventually that's what, you know, that was one of the catalysts that caused me to shut everything down. It was way out of control. You know, it was way too much of a mess. But in those times when I was extremely focused, that's when we experienced great success. For example, you know, when I launched Mind Control Marketing, I said, I am going to make this book a number one bestseller, and I'm going to do whatever I have to do to make that happen. And that was basically all I thought about for a while. Okay? So in that moment, I was extremely passionate and extremely focused. And at that micro level, that allowed me to do one of the things that I always wanted to do.
Gotcha. So there were definitely some obstacles that you ran into. I mean, from... You know, whether it's in your business or in what you were focusing on or getting too spread, you know, spread too thin or whatever is the case.
Yeah.
When you found yourself getting distracted or when you found yourself, you know, focusing on too many things at once to really hit in the way that you wanted to and really accomplish the level of success for any given project that you wanted to, how did you go about overcoming that? I mean, you obviously have achieved tremendous, tremendous success in the past and right now currently with your current Simpleology project. So when your mind is getting distracted and going in several different directions, what do you do to really bring that home?
Well, that's a great, great question. Well, right now, I'm doing something every morning that's had a tremendous effect on that, and it's part of Simpleology. It's called the Daily Target Praxis. And I start every day with this, and this allows me to revisit that. is what I'm going to do today going to bring me closer to or further away from my target? I ask myself those questions every single morning. And if you don't do that, the natural tendency of the universe is decay. It's the second law of thermodynamics, entropy, okay? And this happens in our lives as well. We tend to, you know, left unattended, we tend to decay. We tend to diffuse, okay? Our energy diffuses. So we have to get ourselves back on that track. Our conscious mind has to put us on that. Now, that's one thing. One other tactic is there's a phrase that you need to add to your vocabulary. It's, I changed my mind. I was just talking with someone about this the other day. Okay? It's really, really important, okay? Because people will try to hijack your life because of implied or thought obligations. Okay? And hey, I'm the king of I changed my mind. Okay? I mean, I have changed my mind many times, and sometimes people will step up and will criticize me for that. And I suppose one thing that has allowed me to be successful despite that is that, you know what? I don't care. If I think I'm doing the right thing, if I know that I've got to change course to help more people and to help myself, and by the way, here's a great metaphor. If your plane is crashing, what do they tell you to do? They tell you to put your oxygen mask on first. Why? Because if you don't, you're going to help one guy, and then you're going to die, and you're going to help no one else. Okay? So I had to make sure I put my own oxygen mask on first a lot of the time. Okay? Even though there's some people going, hey, man, you know, you're leaving me. Well, I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm not going to be able to help anybody else if I stop and help you out now and let my situation crumble. Okay? It is okay to change your mind. I don't think that you should blow off obligations. Okay? And obviously use this sparingly. But use it until you get your life to a point where it's manageable. Okay? And one of the things I'll tell people is, if your life is unmanageable right now, and a lot of these entrepreneurs I've seen, they've got 6 million JVs going with five of their buddies, and every single one of them are writing them, and none of them are going anywhere because their energy is all here and there. You know what? Cut it all loose, buddy. I'm telling you right now, because you are never going to see things clearly until you let it all go. Okay? Now, the next thing I would say is, one thing that has really helped me out, I've got a new book coming out next week, actually, through John Wiley & Sons. They're one of the big three New York publishing houses, and I've been lucky enough to get some contracts with them. I used to do all my publishing myself because, frankly, there's more money in that. But I went through Wiley this time because they're, you know, they're big, they're reputable, and they, you know, they've got a lot of ends, a lot of people. Now, this book doesn't have anything to do on the surface with Simpleology, except that there will be later Simpleology courses that you know, talk about what goes on in this book. And I'm not even going to mention the name of the book on this call because, I mean, it's just not appropriate. But it's important for this point, okay? I said, wow, you know, Simpleology is what I am tremendously focused on right now. It's what I'm passionate on right now. I can see myself focusing on this for several years. And I told myself, I said, look, I'm going to stick with this business until I can build it up to the point where it needs to be and pass it off to someone else who can run it. Now, I don't think that's going to happen for several years, but that's a commitment I've made to myself. Now, I had these other things going on with these books, okay? So what I've done is I've figured out how to make that serve the ends of growing Simpleology. I said, look, Simpleology is the most important message I think I have ever put out to the world thus far in my life, okay? And it's actually part of a larger, super important message that we'll talk about soon. So how was I going to make this book be a part of that? Well, I figured out a way to make it work with my strategic partners. I asked Wiley to cancel my contract for my next book due out, which was a sequel to this book that's coming out next week. They said no dice, but I said, well, my next book has got to be Simpleology, the simple science of getting what you want. Are you guys interested in that? And of course they were, so that's how it's all going to come together. So I was able to be flexible, and I made the things in my life fit in. Now, I wasn't about to tell Wiley, hey guys, I changed my mind. Okay? That's not a wise application of that thought. Okay, that's a very big publishing company. They've got a lot of ins with a lot of people. They've been tremendously good to me. They're making this book their big release of this quarter. They put a lot behind me. There is no way that I'm going to, you know, shirk an obligation like that when someone has ponied up all of that energy for me. Okay. So, I mean, you have to take all that into consideration, all right? If there's going to be a tremendous loss or tremendous damage to someone by shirking that obligation, don't do it, okay? It's important to live up to those obligations. But if these are, pardon my language, bullshit obligations that are doing nothing more than vampiring your time and your energy, then cut them loose. It's okay.
Wow. Bam. Well, let me ask you, when you're talking about cutting loose, cutting it down, really focusing in. One thing that I can really honestly say is the Simpleology concepts, the principles, the teachings, the lessons are amazing in and of themselves. And one of them, really the most amazing things here is, I'd just like to reiterate on what Chris said at the beginning of the call, which is this course is literally life-changing. The most incredible parts about it is that you're generously giving it to everyone who's on the call right now. I'd just like to give that link out one more time. It's healthy, wealthy, N as in Nancy, wise.com/joiner, JOYNER. And that's all lowercase, everybody. www.healthywealthynwise.com/joiner. And just from personal experience, it's just a very, very, very powerful concept. When people start applying these same principles that you're going over right now, Mark, you know, everything just starts to fall into place. So, you know, with that said, you've had so many different innovations, whether you're talking about Simpleology or your book launches or any of your early strategies and tactics in the internet marketing world. What is it about you that really has allowed you to be so successful in all of these different arenas? I mean, it seems like you go after something and you hit a high level of success. What's the story here? Now, how are you able to achieve that?
That's a really good question, and it's a question that a lot of people have asked me, and I've never been able to give a good answer up until very recently. And let me give you a little back information. I have to kind of back up a little bit before I can answer that. Let me just say that people have come to me asking me for marketing tactics and business advice. In 99 times out of 100, what they needed was not marketing tactics and business advice, okay? I charge $2,000 an hour for consulting, and I've never had anyone ever ask for a refund or ever be unhappy about it, even though I've even asked them at the end. I would say, you know, I would even be very upfront. You know, if you're not happy with it happened, you know, I'm more than happy to return your money. They'd be like, no, don't do it. Well, here's the thing. Here's why they were very happy, because I was able to uncover something core in their life that was preventing them from being successful, that was very different from what they thought they were going to get on the call. And it gave them sort of an aha moment. And over time, I said, you know, I can't do this for everyone. It would be really nice. I've got a lot of people who write in, and, you know, I've got a PA who answers all my emails, and I try to help everyone who writes. But I simply, you know, there's just not enough time in the day to do that. And, you know, I can't just give out my time for free to everyone who calls in, and I don't think that would be, you know, really a wise way of leveraging myself. You know, I could help some people, but frankly, people probably wouldn't appreciate it, you know. So I thought, look, what if I could find sort of a blueprint that explained what all of this is? I started to see commonalities in people. I started to find that, you know, there were a number of problems that were fundamental to almost every single one of these people I did consultations with. Focus was almost universally a huge problem with every single person I had talked to. Entrepreneurs have got this thing, a friend of mine, I can't remember who said, he called it serial, he called himself a serial innovator, okay? He wasn't a serial murderer or a serial killer. He was a serial innovator. He would create, he would innovate one thing, you know, develop it sort of half-assed and move on to the next, okay? This is a story of the entrepreneur's life. And I'm sure that almost everyone on the call, you know, is probably an entrepreneur of one level or another. I don't know the healthy, wealthy, and wise database that much, but I would imagine a lot of entrepreneurs are attracted to this sort of message, and I think that they can relate to that. Well, even people who aren't entrepreneurs, you know, people who have careers, right, they ask themselves, hey, you know, how come I'm not expanding, or how come I'm not furthering my career? How come I'm not advancing right now? And it would end up that really they weren't focused on it. You know, their attention or their energy was somewhere else. Yeah, they were there at the job, okay? And as Woody Allen says, 90% of success in life is showing up, okay? But if you want to be successful like 90% of the people on the planet, which frankly is just sort of, you know, okay, right, then just show up, okay? But if you want to kick ass and you want to really do some great things, you got to show up there and you got to be present, man. You got to be there. You have to believe in what you're doing. Anyway, so this is something that, you know, it's fundamental. You know, people don't believe it. You know, their minds are off thinking about, you know, man, that woman I saw this morning was so hot. and you're thinking about her all day, you know, or for the ladies, you know, wow, that man just, he had some energy about him. He was charging. Wow, if I had him in my life, my goodness, everything would be so much better, right? And this is where our mind is. And we think, you know, man, if I had a real job, if I had a job where I could actually prove that, you know, I have all of this talent, I would be doing so much better, right? And there's a million and one excuses for simply not being present in the moment. And you know what? For all you guys listening who have the job, okay, and you want to advance in that job or you want to move on to a better job, you had better get into the job you're in right now and prove yourself, okay? Because no one's going to hire you to be, you know, a director of marketing for some rather large company if you cannot prove yourself in the clerical situation you're in right now, okay? You know, if your past experience says that you were a slacker as a mail delivery guy, okay, what do you think that, you know, that guy that you're talking to is interviewing you for that next higher level job is going to think when he calls up your past employer and that's what he hears? Okay, technically they're not supposed to do that, but I'll tell you right now they do. Okay, it's illegal, but it happens. All right, I've never done it. I mean, people call up and I say, boom, boom, boom. I'll say some kind words if I feel they're merited, or I'll just keep my mouth shut. But that has not been the case when I've called people about people I'm hiring. I'll say, so what do you think about this person? And pardon my language again, he's a shitbag. That's a quote-unquote statement I heard from a guy. about a guy that I otherwise thought was okay. I thought, you know, this guy looks really good. His past employer said that, immediately killed my frame on the guy. There's no way I could have ever hired him at that point. I thought, you know what? I had a good vibe about this guy. Now I don't. Okay? So whatever it is, you got to be right there. Anyway, I'm kind of getting, you know, sidetracked from what you're saying. But the point is, I've interacted with all of these people, and I was able to put all this together into a number of rules, a system that could be distilled into a 15-minute-a-day praxis, and that's what that's all about.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm gonna really go into your mind on this one, and, you know, we were talking about constructs a little bit earlier, right? I'd like to know about the relationship between the practice, the 15-minute-a-day praxis, and really learning how to be present in what's around you right now, and constructs. What's the relationship there, and what are constructs all about? Why are they on your website, and why do you talk about them so much?
Well, the March Winter constructs are on a totally different website. It's on my personal site. I won't give that here. If you guys want to, you know, see that, I'm sure you can look it up and find it out. But that website I keep very separate from Simpleology. Why? Well, one focus, right? The March Winter website is all about, you know, hey, these are the things that are on my mind. If you're curious about that, here's the place to hang out and talk about them. And the most important thing happening there is a project I have called the March Winter Constructs. Constructs are basically ideas. And that doesn't sound like much until you understand that simple ideas are what have transformed the world into what we have today, okay? Because certain people in history have had ideas about things that would change or improve the world, or sometimes not improve the world, those ideas have had a huge impact on what happens. There's a concept called memes. A meme is a single unit of information that transfers from person to person like a virus, okay? Some memes are good, some memes are not so good, okay? I would say that a lot of the fundamentalist, you know, religious thinking of today, and not to put down anyone involved in any religion, I'm a religious man myself, I won't talk about my own faith because I don't want to offend anyone with that, but I think the fundamentalism of any particular type of religion, any type of fanaticism, any type of exclusive thought, any type of hate thought, these are dangerous and poisonous viri of the mind. These are memes that are destroying society, that are destroying your mind. And so it struck me one day, I said, what if we could consciously focus our energy on spreading memes that were actually bringing people together, that were having a positive impact on people's lives, okay? Instead of talking about hate and despair and destruction and exclusion and violence and fighting, why don't we implant the viri of love, togetherness, cooperation, you know, positivity? Why don't we do that? Why? You know, it's amazing to me. I wake up some mornings and I think, it's absolutely astounding that the world is not bound together as a whole, trying to figure out a way to get our species on other planets so that we can avoid total annihilation. Okay? Why aren't we waking up every morning and saying, you know what? Hey, man, let's all get together and figure out, like, how to just, you know, wipe out this whole disease thing. Because it really sucks. You know, I for one don't want to die of cancer. I for one don't want to have a stroke. You know, my mom had a stroke and lived half paralyzed and unable to speak and brain damaged for about 25 years of her life. The final 25 years of her life were absolute and total misery. And I'm thinking, my God, all this time that we've been, you know, running around like, you know, arguing about some stupid frickin' line in the sand, okay, about some ideological difference, you know, about someone's, you know, insecurity that has transformed itself into a mobilization of soldiers, you know, all over the world. And I'm not talking about the current conflict, by the way. You know, if you guys think I'm jumping on the bandwagon of Bush bashing or any of the things that are going on right now, that's certainly not the case. I'm not going to discuss my politics, but I sometimes conflict is necessary, guys, and we have to accept that. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's stupid. But this amazes me that we're focused on any of this at all, okay? What is stopping the world from all of a sudden waking up and saying, my God, you know, this is really rather stupid, guys, isn't it? We could be putting our energy into eradicating disease. We could be putting our energy into figuring out how to stop the world from blowing up. We could be putting our energy into figuring out how to get the human species on other planets and colonizing the galaxy. That sounds way out, but you know what? It's not. Okay? If you had told someone 200 years ago that information would have been transferred invisibly via electrons to people across the globe in the blink of an eye, they would have thought you were certifiably insane.
That's okay? Absolutely true.
Absolutely. Okay, so the whole point of the constructs is I want to put those memes in people's minds. I want to spread that. So there's a whole movement growing around this where now I've created constructs. The most important one is called Construct Zero. It's a concept called unifying social dynamics. And it's basically, you know, you'd have to read about it to get the full details. But I want to, you know, spur, you know, thousands of movements across the globe that are border crossing and unifying that will therefore prevent conflict. Because there's nothing that will bring people together like a common enemy or a common goal. Let's forget about a common enemy for now until, you know, some mindless alien race tries to wipe us all out, okay? Let's focus on common goals. Okay, let's focus on common goods. Anyway, so symbolology is related to this in a very direct way. You wouldn't be able to see it until you understand that it's necessary. The second construct is all about what I call freedom agents. I believe that because of this phenomenon of fixation, people have got to free themselves from this day-to-day struggle that they're in right now. If you're running around chasing the buck, how are you going to be able to change the world? Okay? Whose oxygen mask goes on first? Yours does. Well, guess what? If you've got to keep holding that oxygen mask to your mouth, you've only got one hand to do the rest of the work with, don't you? Okay? So we've got to get people into a situation where we no longer have to work every day by force. Wouldn't it be wonderful if in the world we knew that when we woke up this morning we were going to have food, clothing, and shelter, and that no matter what, those were our God-given rights? Well, guess what? The only thing preventing that from happening right now is technology. Well, actually, you know what? That's wrong. It's not technology, because we have the technology to do it right now. The only thing preventing us from doing it is our will. Okay? We simply don't have the will to put humanity in that situation. So how's it going to happen? How are we going to break the world out of this global hypnosis that we're in right now? Well, one by one, these freedom agents have got to start waking up. Okay? They've got to put themselves in a situation where their oxygen mask is firmly strapped on at all times. They've got enough money. They don't have to worry about waking up and chasing the buck in the morning. What are they going to do? They're going to get up and they're going to start doing the work of unifying social dynamics, spreading these memes, and waking everyone else up. Okay? Now, how do you do that? It's easier said than done. Okay? But that's part of what Symbolology is all about. I want to be able to take someone from the situation they're in right now. You know, if they're in, you know, working in McDonald's right now, that's great, fine. Okay, as long as it's stable, that's where they are. Let's take them to where they want to go, and step by step, bring them up to a point where they actually have that level of freedom. Okay? And that's what Symbolology is doing. And so the series of courses will bring people to that point, you know, one step at a time.
So I really have to ask you this, Mark. I noticed that I haven't had to ask you a whole lot of questions for the last few minutes.
Yep.
And my question for you is, how does passion for you relate to constructs, to freedom agents, to Symbology for that matter? I mean, you seem pretty fired up about it.
Well, I got to tell you, I can get fired up about a lot of things. But as I get on in my years now, you know, my one-time aspiration to be, you know, a rock and roll star and to be famous and all that isn't quite as strong as it used to be. It doesn't seem as important anymore. You know, I realized, hey, you know, that was all about my ego. You know, I really, you know, wanted to be loved and admired then. Sure, everyone wants that. But I'm more secure enough in myself now, and I think I've moved on a few levels, a couple notches, you know, and I've got to a point where I've said, well, you know, there are some more important things going on, and what's really charged me, okay, and made me passionate in this moment, is that I remind myself about this as a matter of survival. I try to take it on as sort of a responsibility. I say, look, someone's got to do something about this. Okay, I can either get up this morning and, you know, and eat some Doritos and watch.
Hello, Mark. Sounds like you just dropped off there for a second. Mark, you back?
Sounds like we lost him for a moment, Thelman, but it's fascinating what he's talking about.
I'm sure he'll be back in just a second. I mean,
sure.
The stuff that Mark is going over here is really, really very amazing. You know, one of the most interesting things is, you know, when you're talking to Mark, is that he's not just, you know, saying this in a group of people. When you get him one-on-one in a conversation, these are the concepts, the ideas, the ideals that he's working with every single day from the moment he wakes up in the morning to when he goes to bed at night.
Well, that really is passion. No?
Hello, Mark. You're back.
Oh, Mark's back.
Hey, when did I cut out there?
that's a great question. I'm not sure what the exact words were where we lost you. Did you catch that, Chris?
Actually, I was. You were you left us, Mark, and my mind went blank at that moment. But, you know, while we're coming back to this point, forgive me, but I just wanted, for those that may have to leave early, if you do, be sure that you take advantage of Mark's offer and get his free gift of the introductory course in Simpleology, where I know Telman's going to get him to talk a little bit more about Simpleology in a few minutes. But go to healthywealthy, the letter N is in Nancy, wise.com/joiner, J-O-Y-N-E-R. And you can get that initial course, the Simpleology course, absolutely free as Mark's gift. And when you do, you'll see the power of what Mark has created. So, and also I want to mention that while our normal call here goes until about 10 after 6 Pacific time or 10 after 9 Eastern time, Mark has agreed to allow me to ask him some bonus questions. So those of you who can stay on a little after the call is over, we're going to go a little more deeply with Mark. So Telman, let me turn it back over to you now.
Beautiful. Well, yeah, it's going to be really nice to really get into that extra content at the end. Mark, what we were really talking about is passion and
yeah.
How passionate and excited you are. You talked a little bit about how you used to really be excited about being a rock star, but that's not quite so important anymore. And,
right.
And then you were going on to, okay, well, you know, at the end of the day, somebody's got to get up in the morning and do this, and it might as well start right here.
Right. And that's it. You know, I mean, that's the thing that has me, you know, fired up and passionate right now. You know, I've made a commitment to myself to put myself into all of this stuff, you know, over the next several years to until I reach a few certain goals. And I'll talk about what those are, you know, at the appropriate time.
Will you tell us a little bit, Mark, about how did Simpleology is clearly your passion now? Will you tell people what Simpleology is and how it relates to these constructs, this thing that you're so passionate about that you've been discussing for the last few minutes?
We covered that a bit. Did you guys, disappeared there when I was talking about the, you know, unifying social dynamics and all that?
You were there for most of that, but you know, what's kind of like the direct relationship for the user?
Well, okay, so what happens is, did you guys hear what I said about the freedom agents?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so the thing is, you know, eventually we've got to get to a technological point where the people of the world no longer have to worry about food, shelter, clothing, water, all of these basic necessities of life. We have the technology right now. If there was a global will to provide this for every single person in the world, okay, we could do this. Okay? We totally could do this. It's not that difficult technologically. Okay? But the thing is, before we get to that point, you know, we've got to have a number of people waking up. And so, you know, the question is, how, you know, it's easier said than done. How do you do that? You know, how do you get people to wake up to that point? Well, we've got to have individual people that are at this level of freedom agent. They individually don't have to worry about this anymore. Globally, we haven't got to this point, but hey, as an individual, this is what I'm going to focus my energy on. But, you know, people don't know how to get there, all right? And Simpleology is sort of a blueprint. It's sort of a step-by-step path to getting yourself to that point where you can be totally freed up of the day-to-day, you know, need to chase the buck, the day-to-day need to figure out where your next meal is going to come from. Let's wipe out that problem. Let's make it so you have enough money, enough cash flow coming in, okay, where you can wake up in the morning and say, okay, what am I going to do now to better the world, okay? How am I going to get myself more deeply involved in unifying social dynamics? Now, I just want to correct one thing, and that's say Simpleology is a passion right now, but as a part of this whole constructs movement, it just so happens that it's the most exciting and most necessary part right now, because you know it's the thing that people need the most. You know, it's wonderful to talk about all these ideals, but until we can give people an actual way to get from A to Z, none of that really matters. So that's why, you know, 95% of my day is focused on that.
Well, you know, the power of Simpleology really is quite phenomenal. I'd really like to go into some more detail with that here as soon as we're finished up, but I'd like to skip ahead a couple notches for a moment, if you don't mind, Mark. And
sure.
For the people that do have to finish up right now, you know, one of the interesting things here is that the whole Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise series, all the concepts, all the ideas, all the people that we bring on here really strongly believe in the power of intention, the power of focus, right, in order to manifest what is really important to you. It sounds like Simpleology really boils that down into a system that you can use.
Right.
So, you know, with the Simpleology project, which you clearly defined as one of the biggest things that you're working on right now, what is the intention you'd really like for all the people at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, and all the readers, all the listeners, all the people online, all the people listening to the recording later on, that you'd really like them to hold for you with what you're working on?
Well, I would say that, you know, my current goal right now is within the next 6 months to introduce 1 million people to Simpleology, and then within the next couple years, kick that up to 100 million. And that's, you know, globally. You know, there are about 250 million people in the United States. I assume that just, you know, because this is an English-speaking course and probably more interest, you know, to people in the States right now, you know, for various reasons, just because of the way it's presented. I might come up with new ways of presenting that, too. But, you know, within the next 6 months, have those ideas in front of 6 million people, and within the next 2 to 3 years, 100 million people.
Wow, that's pretty serious business. That's awesome. Well, you know, with that said, what single idea would you really like people to focus on, and what single concept would you like people to really keep steady in their mind tonight and in the next few weeks and months as they're going through the Simpleology course, as they're waking up in the morning, becoming their own freedom agents, and really starting to make things happen?
Well, I would say, you know, that's it. You know, focus on that thought of becoming a freedom agent so that you can one way or another get involved in some form of unifying social dynamics. It's the only responsible thing that we can do as human beings right now, you know, is take responsibility for that. So I would just say, look, you know, if you want to really make a difference, you know, focus on that right now. You know, it's okay. It's okay to put your own oxygen mask on. And a lot of people who, you know, are thinking about doing positive things for other people, they focus a lot on others before they've got their own situation sorted, you know. And that's noble, but it's also sometimes suicidal, you know. So let's figure out now how to get these people 100 times more effective than they are right now. Because think about it, okay? Let's say that, you know, you're spending your time in your job, you know, every day, and, you know, you plan on doing that until you retire. What if, in the next 5 years, we could put you in a situation where you were a freedom agent, and instead of doing your job every day, okay, you were waking up every morning and saying, how can I help people? Okay, what can I do to have a positive impact on the globe? What can I? And the reason I say unifying social dynamics is because there are a lot of things that we can spend our time doing, and, you know, sometimes there are a lot of social causes that are divisive and not unifying, okay? And so we need to forget about some of those things for a while and focus on the things that are universally unifying. You know, there are things that as human beings we can all agree on. You know, we certainly would all like to not have disease. We would certainly all like to be able to have, you know, a total provision of everything for everyone, okay? And this isn't a pie-in-the-sky dream. This is totally possible, you know, if you look at it. It's very, very possible. So, you know, think about that. How much more effective could you be as an individual? Okay, how much more impact could you have on the world in your life if you were able to put yourself in that situation? So focus your energy on that, and on that idea of becoming a freedom agent.
Wow. Well, you know, from the moment you open your eyes and start your day again, working with the concept of the daily target practice from Simpleology is a really powerful, powerful way to tap into all of that. Before we go into our
bonus questions, and Chris, I know you have a bunch of questions that you wanted to ask Mark as well. I'd just like to give out that link again. Again, everyone listening right now can get Mark's Simpleology course that we've been talking about for free. He's offering this as a gift, and you can get it at healthywealthy.com/joiner, JOYNER.
And I can't recommend it in a more powerful, more absolute, unquestionable way. Go there now, get the course, start watching the videos,
listening to the audios, reading the text. I mean, there's so many ways this information is presented. It's very, very powerful stuff. And, you know, just from my heart, Mark, I just want to say thank you for the work that you're doing. It's monumentally important and fantastically presented.
Thank you.
So, Chris, are you there?
I am.
Would you like to go back and forth and ask some more questions here for a little bit?
Yeah, I'd love to do that. Mark, could you repeat, and maybe a little more slowly, you said Simpleology is the science of what?
What was it? The simple science of getting what you want.
The simple science of getting what you want. So it sounds like then Simpleology is teaching us how we can get anything we want at will. Is that true, and is that even possible?
Yeah, it is doing that. Within your own perceived limits, I suppose. You know, it's interesting. There are a lot of thoughts about this, and you have to discuss these things very carefully because, you know, when you start discussing things like, you know, your intention and your will and how, you know, you can create things, a lot of people, sometimes get put off. You know, sometimes they think, well, is that some kind of like, you know, voodoo magic or something like that? And it's interesting. I have completely left out any discussion of, you know, any metaphysical impact of your intention on your desired outcome, even though, you know, there is people who have studied these things definitely see, you know, some signs of that in Simpleology. But I've left it out. Why? Because I didn't want to turn people away from these ideas because they're somehow put off by those things. In fact, I made it very clear even in the first lesson. I said, look, this is all about, empirical science, you know, empiricism being, you know, the study of the things that you can observe yourself, right? And I said, look, I'm going to give you exercises that you can do to, like, actually observe the effect of these principles in your life. And I won't say what any of these things are because I don't want to spoil it for people. I want them to actually experience them themselves. It's very important that they do that because, I mean, it can be very life-changing when you do. But with that said, let me just say that there is a tremendous body of evidence out there, even from the scientific community. And let me just say, guys, scientists, some are good, some are bad, okay? some adhere to their beliefs in the same way that a religious fanatic would, okay? That's not science, all right? So when I say scientific, I want to remove all that baggage, and I want to say there is a body of evidence out there, and evidence is just that. I don't think there is any such thing as proof in this world, okay, other than what you can feel in your heart, what you can see yourself. And sometimes even that's not true, okay? That's, you know, Heisenberg's uncertainty principle is all about the fact that our act of observing changes the real world, so it's impossible for us to know what's actually going on in the world. Very fascinating concept, frightening in a way, but it also allows you to let go of things. Okay, so with that said, I do want to say that, and a lot of people don't talk about this, but there's a gentleman named Rupert Sheldrake, for example. I've had the great honor of being able to exchange some emails with him of late. He is probably the most powerful scientist actually observing and discussing this phenomenon of, you know, the fact that thought and intention actually has some kind of impact on the world, that there is some way that information is being transferred among people and to objects that we don't yet understand. And he's actually developed a number of experiments to actually isolate this and see this. For example, you may have heard of the phenomenon of the sense of being watched. Chris, have you ever heard of this? You know, that people say, you know, that they can sense that someone is watching them?
Right, sure.
Right. Well, what Sheldrake has done, he said, well, let's actually look at that. And this is one of the reasons why some people consider him a heretic. Other people think that he's probably the most brilliant scientist of our age. He said, well, let's find out. Is it actually true? Can people sense it? Because if they can, isn't that a profound thing? Right?
Right.
I mean, isn't that absolutely amazing? If it actually is true that you can sense that someone else is looking at you, think of the implications of that. What is that implying? My God, it's amazing. Well, so what he did was he put together a number of experiments, and you can actually learn about these. There's a videotape called Seven Experiments That Will Change the World, and he actually showed how, to a statistically significant degree, they were able to observe that these young school kids, in a very well-constructed experiment, were able to sense when someone was looking at them. Very brilliant the way he put it together. So another side note, you know, in science there is a very observable and irrefutable concept or a phenomenon called the placebo effect. Okay, the placebo effect is nothing more than the human body taking on the intended effects of a treatment when the so-called treatment doesn't actually take place. Now, it's amazed me that no one has made a deeper study of this, because I think that the placebo effect was probably the most significant discovery in the 20th century, the Internet being the most significant invention. Why is that? Well, because it shows very clearly that the intention of someone's mind has an impact on their body. But you know what's happened with the placebo effect is that something very, very ugly has happened. Now, when something occurs, okay, when somebody spontaneously heals themselves, you know, from some treatment or whatever, they go, well, they just dismiss it and say, that's just a placebo effect. You know, that to me is like saying, you know, a bunch of people died in Hiroshima. Well, that was just the atomic bomb. You know, let's not worry about that.
Yeah. Right.
My God, right?
Yeah.
So why are we dissecting this? Why are we trying to figure out? I mean, if the human mind can have this effect, why don't we figure out how to make that happen every single time and get people curing themselves all over the world?
Absolutely.
It's obviously possible, right? So the way this ties into your question is, you know, the power of intention clearly does have some effect. Now, I want to be very careful. I think that a lot of people throw these ideas around recklessly sometimes, you know, and they get away from them, you know, from a rather objective sense. And I think that sometimes it's a little bit destructive, because people will say, well, all I've got to do is have this intention and everything's going to be fine. And sometimes they throw caution to the wind. And I think that needs to be balanced with real action. And I also talk about in that very first lesson, I say, look, I'm not trying to discount anyone's faith or anyone's spiritual beliefs. I mean, I'm a very religious, spiritual person. But you can see this, you know, throughout a lot of, you know, sacred writing throughout history. You know, a lot of these religions will even tell you, like, for example, you know, in the book of James, it says, faith without action is worthless. It says that right in the Bible. The Buddha himself says, you must find your own salvation and not seek it through others. Okay? So all of these different faiths are telling you, and unfortunately this message hasn't been passed around, you know, through a lot of these faiths. All of them are telling you, you have to take responsibility for what's happening. Okay? There has to be some physical world action on your part that actually brings it about. A lot of people will argue with that, but I would just say from my own personal experience, when I have combined that focus and that attention with taking real actionable steps towards getting the thing I want, every time, bam, 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 I'm able to get it. Okay, but if I sit there and I think, well, it would be really nice if I had this, and I think a lot about it, hey, sometimes, you know, you may, you know, quote-unquote, attract those things in your life. But I don't know. Does it happen for you every single time? And I would challenge the people listening, okay, does it happen every single time if you just think about it? So I don't know, and I don't know your thoughts on this, Chris, but I would say intention is extremely important, but combined with real-world action.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, the question that comes up in my mind, Mark, is some say that your results are always 100% the statement of your true intentions, and that your stated intentions and your true intentions may not always be in sync.
Indeed.
And I wonder, is that consistent with your thinking, that in fact, if you want to know what your real intentions are, look to the results you have in your life?
That's a really interesting question. I would say, to a certain degree, for sure, if your real intention is different from your stated intention, that it is going to somehow, and on a practical level even, sabotage the result, right?
Yeah.
Because somehow it's going to bubble up. In the Army, we had this thing, called, killing an officer through obedience. And a non-commissioned officer, if he found an officer that was a buffoon and was going to get a lot of people killed, he would set the guy up. And you know what he would do is he would follow every single thing that the officer told him to do to the letter, okay? But whenever little things came up that, any thinking person would prevent from happening, the NCO wouldn't do that. He would just simply follow the officer's word to the letter, and the whole thing would fall apart. You know, when the officer got angry at the NCO, he'd say, "Well, sir, I did what you said." And this would drive an officer crazy.
Sure.
and a lot of guys ended up resigning as a result of this. So perhaps that's a manifestation of that.
It's a great example, I think. It's a really great example. The intention was to destroy the officer, even though the stated intention was to follow the officer's direction, right? Can we come back to simpleology? Because I want to just, you've talked about intention, and without giving away the course, can you give our listeners a feeling for when they go through this course, what are the kinds of things that they're going to learn? What are they going to get from doing this? Are they going to be able to create anything they want it with?
I got to be very careful with the word anything, right? And that's why I said in the beginning, within the limits of your own belief, And I don't know. I mean, a lot of people say, hey, if we can believe something, we can achieve it. And I have found that to a very large degree, that's true. And, I would like to think at some point in my life that I could just, levitate off the ground and fly. I haven't been able to do that yet. And maybe it's because I don't believe it. So, I don't know. I don't know what the limits are of this, right?
Okay.
But I would say that as an observable phenomenon, for sure, your belief is going to have some impact. So with that said, I would say that if you have a rational belief about something, simpleology, to me, is going to be the fastest way of getting you there. And I'll just talk a little bit about the first lesson without letting you actually go through the exercise, because it's probably the most important exercise in the course. Although, I really have to get people up to lesson 16 where they start the daily target practice, because that's when the huge impact and the huge change is going to happen in your life, when you start actually doing that, for 15 minutes every morning.
Okay.
But the first lesson is about the first law of simpleology, and I'll give that away. That's the law of straight lines. And that's saying that the shortest distance between any two points is a straight line. Now, this is a geometric principle. We know this through geometry, right? But you can experience this on a symbolic level as well. Sometimes, in fact, most of the time, we're not following a straight line path. We're doing things that are taking us further away from what our intention is, if I can throw that word in. I call them targets in that, okay? And I think the word perhaps can be used interchangeably. And I have to be very careful. I don't want to say that they can, because I thought everything through very, very carefully. But, from the context of our conversation so far, I don't see why it couldn't. So, maybe in the context of this and what would help your listeners, because you're so focused on that intention, is, hey, would you like a way to speed up the process through which you can attain your intentions. Okay? Would you, okay, let's just say you put an intention out to get something. And perhaps some people think that, you know, the intention will bring the thing to their life. Okay. Do we know if that's going to happen in the next year or two or at all? We don't really know. But what I would say is, wouldn't it be cool if you had a way to for sure get there in 5 days?
Okay? Yeah, that'd be really cool.
That would be really cool, right? So I'm throwing the 5 days figure out there, you know, rather arbitrarily, okay? But what I am saying is this is all about getting you to that thing way, way faster, cutting away all the nonsense, all of the bullshit from your life, okay? And, again, this comes from, you know, conversations with thousands of people, being able to observe what's preventing people from getting the things that they want. And it's cutting all of the nonsense away and getting them 100% focused on actually getting those things. And so far, the results that people have been getting have been great. You know, people are finding that they're getting, you know, 4 to 5 times more done in their day. And I would challenge people. I would say, look, you know, get up to day 16. Take it day by day, as I say in the course checklist. Get up to day 16 and do the daily target practice for a week and let me know what kind of impact it's had. You know, don't take my word for it. I say this in the course. I say, look, you know, don't, you know, walk into this saying, well, you know, Mark said this is true, so it's going to be true. If you go in like that, it's not going to have the impact on you. Why? Perhaps it's for the reason that Chris said. Because, you know, your true intention isn't going to be changed unless you can actually experience it yourself. So until your true intention becomes, I'm going to wake up every single morning for the rest of my life and do my daily target practice. And until you actually experience those things and go through the exercises, you won't be able to feel that in your heart and see it. So I hope that gives sort of a flavor of what's going on there.
Yeah, that's great. And before we go on, Mark, I just want to once again make sure that people know how they can be able to take your Simpleology course as a gift from you by going to www.healthywealthy, the letter N as in Nancy, wise.com/joiner. And as you talked about Simpleology, the question that comes up in my mind is there are a lot of things out in the world these days that are intended to help people be successful, intended to help them to achieve their dreams. How is Simpleology different?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, do we really need anything like this?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there are a lot of great ideas out there. And the one key difference that I want to focus in on is that every single personal development system that I have seen so far tends to have addressed one particular problem that may not be your problem, right?
Okay.
And, you know, like, for example, you know, you know, Napoleon Hill and W. Clement Stone, well, actually, W. Clement Stone sort of added this to Hill's teachings, the idea of positive mental attitude, right? And, you know, Stone talked so much about how PMA was so important, and I couldn't agree with him more. But I have met people that don't have that problem. You know, they've got PMA already. They've got it hardwired into them. So I said, look, you know, I want to be able to take you, but you can have PMA, all right, and you can be totally, you know, unsuccessful in your life because you don't have any direction, right? So what Simpleology what it attempts to do, okay, is distill this down to the essence of no matter what philosophy you believe in, no matter what your spiritual background is, no matter what it is that you're trying to do, these are the things that you absolutely must do to have that happen in your life, right? In fact, and that's distilled into the scientific formula for success. And so, I mean, I would challenge anyone to say, look, can you actually accomplish anything without following the scientific formula for success? And if you can, I would really like to know, because I haven't seen anyone do it yet, okay? So the idea is I wanted to get people focused on the bare essentials. And if a barrier comes up along the way, well, then let's address that then. But until it does, let's not worry about that. Let's not create problems that don't exist. And now, well, here's another thing. So that's the primary difference. But what I would say is, And not to discount any of these other materials out there, you know, I want to reiterate the fact that Simpleology is all-embracing and is not exclusive. I mean, I certainly don't want to put down other teachers or any other schools of thought. If something is working for you and it's meaningful for you, you know, shame on me if I discredit that and take away that power in your life. You know, so I just want to reiterate that because I think that's so important to get out there. But another thing is, throughout, there are a number of things that most people have problems with, even though not every single person does. Symbolology kind of subtly, in a lot of cases, short-circuits your brain and gets you past it. And I can't talk about all of the research and, you know, so much time that went into constructing it this way. But, you know, I mean, I made a lifetime study of, you know, the impact of human language on the mind, you know, on how to trick the mind into doing things. And now instead of focusing my energy on, you know, hey, how can I get this guy to buy more stuff, you know, which is where my life was for quite some time, I'm thinking, okay, how can I trick the brain to be more effective, okay? Uh-huh. How can I get this guy to short-circuit all of the BS wiring that's in his mind and get him focused on what he really needs to be focused on? So I would say that most people going through it are going to find themselves, you know, actually, you know, all of a sudden forgetting about all these problems that they had before, because it's going to completely refocus their attention and their energy.
Sounds fabulous. Now, is Symbolology derived solely from your own experience, or was it compiled in some other way?
Well, I would say that, I mean, it's extremely eclectic from so many different things and so many different ideas. And, I mean, I would be very, very selfish and egotistical to say that it's something that I came up with completely on my own. I mean, the ideas, for the most part, are my own, but, you know, built on, you know, things that I've learned throughout my life. I mean, there have just been some great teachers, you know, in many different disciplines, you know, not just in personal development, but also, you know, in the field of science, in the field of you know, biology, in the field of neuroscience, you know, in the field of art, in the field of literature. I would say, for example, and it would take me a long time to explain how this is connected, but there's an absurdist playwright named Samuel Beckett, who I think is one of the most brilliant writers in the history of the world, perhaps close to being on par with Shakespeare. He has a very, very nihilistic and negative view on the world that is very, very far removed from my view of the world. but his impact on my life was profound, especially in his presentation of language. And if I hadn't read him or James Joyce, perhaps this wouldn't exist. Okay, so, yeah.
Great, wonderful. And these principles, are things that you've applied in your own life? Is that how you came to distill them? Did you distill out with the things that really worked and were allowing you to create such amazing results in your own life?
Without question. I mean, the starting point that I came from, you know, I said, on my best day, what is it that I'm doing that's allowing me to have that best day? And that was the starting point. And I distilled all of it down to, I mean, some of these things I just sort of intuitively knew. Sometimes I kept reminding myself, oh, it's that thing again. And instead of saying that thing, I said, you know what, I got to name that thing so I can explain that to someone else. Okay, and I kept, and then so over time I was naming these things. I was systematizing it until I was able to finally distill it down into this 15-minute exercise. Now I have to remind people, you know, the exercise can't be taken in a vacuum. I mean, you've got to go through the course from beginning to end. But I really spoon-feed everyone, you know, step by step. I'm a huge fan of making things easy for people. Well, ergo simplicity, right? I'm a huge fan of presenting things in the shortest way possible. I'm a little long-winded when you talk to me one-on-one, but when I want to present things to people, I want to be able to show them in the shortest possible way. Benjamin Franklin said at the end of a very famous letter, he said, if I'd had more time, I would have written less.
Right.
And I want to respect people's time by, you know, just cutting through everything and just putting it right into the brain and saying, you know what, here it is. And I present it in a number of different ways. So anyway, to get back to the question, every morning now I do this daily target praxis myself. I do everything that I teach in Symbolology 101 and 102 and the 103 that I'm working on right now, which should be out, I won't say when, because I'm not going to promise something until it's done. But I practice every single thing that I say in there, and I do that religiously. And if ever one morning I catch myself starting without it, I say, you know what? You got to get back and do it. And I even experimented with this, you know, last week. There were a couple days where I went ahead and I went through my day without doing the daily target practice. And I started, you know, like checking out how much I was getting done. And I was getting done about literally 10% of what I was getting done when I actually did the daily target practice. And the things that I was doing sometimes were completely meaningless for what I wanted to get in my life. So, the short answer is absolutely. It's what's allowing me to be successful in my own life.
Now, you've said in your materials, say, over and over, that Symbolology, it's easy to learn, it's effective for anyone. And if it's really so easy, then why is it that most people aren't already doing those things?
That's a great question. Well, I would say this right now. Chris, how is your diet personally? And if this is too personal of a question, just tell me to back off.
No, it's okay. Most of the time, I'm a vegetarian. Most of the time, I eat pretty well. Sometimes I eat a few things that I choose not to.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Now, how about your exercise? That's right. Well, I understand that you wake up every morning and do meditation every day. Is that right?
I do. That's right.
Do you do like some kind of yoga or physical exercise?
I do. Yeah.
You do that every day?
Almost every day would be. I meditate every day. Almost every day I do the yoga and exercise.
Well, you are a very rare 1 in 1,000 human being, I would say.
Now, but I've spent years and years creating the discipline that made that a habit and practice in my life.
Aha. Okay. Now, all right. If you were to ask people on the street, and you were to go to almost anywhere on the street, and you were to say, hey, you know, do you eat right and exercise? What do you think 99 out of 100 people would say?
No.
No. Do they know that they should be eating right and exercising?
Sure.
Yes. I mean, unless you are locked up in a closet in society right now, I mean, one of these overwhelming messages has been, you know, eat right and exercise. Now,
yeah.
Unfortunately, marketers are completely, you know, destroying that by, you know, putting all of this, you know, unconscious desire in your mind and linking up things like Doritos and beer with, you know, six-pack abs, which is
right.
This is what they're doing, right? And this is, and by the way, my new book coming out presents an alternative to this form of marketing, this marketing coercion. Frankly, it's the yin to my last book, the Mind Control Marketing's yang. You know, this is, you know, a more gentler, a gentler way of, you know, doing marketing, more honest way of doing marketing. Anyway, so the point is, why aren't people doing all this now? It's the same reason they're not doing all these other things. Well, first of all, you know, awareness has to take place, okay? You have to become aware that you're making a mistake before you can actually fix it. I mean, let's just say you live in this town where there's like a little tiny bit of arsenic in your water, okay? And you're drinking that water every single day, all right? You're going to drink that water thinking, hey, you know, water. Healthy, wealthy, and wise, right? I'm just going to pound it down, right?
Eight glasses a day, right?
Eight glasses a day, yeah, that's right. Now, healthy, wealthy, and wise water is not tainted, okay? Water from some other place, okay, may possibly be, and you may think it's the real thing when it's not. But until someday someone comes up and goes, oh, my goodness, we just discovered there's arsenic on our water supply. We got to move, all right? What was the first thing we said? We got to move, all right? Until we knew about that, we didn't know that we got to move,
right.
Right? So that's the first thing. And the next thing, I'm so glad you talked about discipline. Okay, now a lot of people would come to me and say, you know, I just can't get myself to do the daily target practice every morning. And I think, well, here's the answer for you. Do it.
Right.
The idea is, all right, and I'll tell you, if you cannot discipline yourself to do something 15 minutes every single morning, you know what? I'm just going to give you the reality slap right now. You are being lazy, and it's no one else's fault, okay? Quit blaming your mom. Quit blaming society. Quit blaming whatever ache or pain you've got in your body. Forget all that, okay? Because it's not their fault, okay? And I'm sorry if that sounds harsh. But we need that kind of wake-up call sometimes to get us to that point where we can go, you know what, damn it, I am responsible for this. I am going to do this every morning. Okay, now, I've charged this a little bit. When people first get that momentum rolling with the course, I hook them into it by getting them to realize and say, okay, what is this thing that I really desire in my life? There goes your passion again, right? And I say, look, if you don't know what it is, write something down that you know that you really love. This may not be your big one thing, but something you damn sure know you want, okay? And then that is going to help you start to develop that discipline. And I imagine that a very similar process happened to you in your life when you were first instilling that discipline in yourself.
Absolutely.
You know, that you said, I want something, and you said, you know what, damn it, I'm not going to sit here and I'm going to be a sloth this morning. I'm going to get up and I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, now here's what happens, though. So one of the things, and I'll give a little bit away of what the Learn in Simpleology, I say that they're the two most important decisions in your life. I won't say what the number one decision is. I'm going to let guys go learn that on their own, but I'll say what the number two decision is. And that is, you're making these decisions every single moment of your life. Are you going to make the decision that is going to strengthen your power or weaken your power? And every single action you take is going to have that impact on your life, one way or the other. And your power is constantly in a state of flux. And guess what? Who's in charge of it? You are. Okay? And if you make that decision, that sometimes may be hard in that moment, to actually get past that one thing, guess what happens the next time? It's not so hard anymore. It's easier. Okay? Now, if you do that daily target practice every morning, I will tell you in 2 weeks, you are going to be addicted to it. And if something distracts you from doing your daily target practice, you're going to be like, you know what? Back off, dude, because I got to do my thing. Okay? And that is probably what you would do, Chris. I mean, if somebody tried to interrupt your morning meditation, your yoga, all these things that you do.
Right.
Okay? So that's the long answer.
Well, and it's a great answer, Mark. Thank you. And, you know, the other thing that occurs to me when I think back to how I was fortunate enough to develop habits that I found to be very beneficial in my life, one of the key things was that I had a mentor, a teacher, who really gave me, who was both an inspiration to me and who also helped me to see that it was more important to do those things than any other things that I might do for a variety of reasons. And that's what I hear you doing in Simpleology. That you are a model in yourself, in your own life, in what you've achieved and what you've been able to create. And what I also hear you just listening to you speak is that you're kind of like the coach that says, if you can't do that 15 minutes, then go out and do it now, right?
That's
and
it.
I think we all need a piece of that, don't you agree?
Oh, without question. I mean, the motivation can come in, you know, from so many different sources, and sometimes you're right. It comes from a teacher who presents us that. And I'll tell you, I'll tell you about a moment I had that was absolutely transformative to me, and it was from a teacher that I talked to for all of 5 minutes in my life, if that. I was at officer candidate school at the time, and it's one of the toughest schools in the Army. This is where you take enlisted soldiers, and in 3 months you put them through a living hell, a psychological, a physical, mental, any kind of hell that you could imagine is there, and you experience that for 3 months. And I went there, I'm very embarrassed to say, completely out of shape. I allowed myself to get out of shape before I went there. And as a result, I was a complete mess for probably about the first two-thirds of the course. Now, about 2 weeks in, and I've never told anybody this before, I had the actual urge, okay, to see if I could get out of the course, okay? I didn't have the moral courage to stand up and say I quit, okay? I was too much of a coward to even quit. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to let all of my physical ailments wash me out. I wanted to go into sick call one day and have them say, you know what, this kid is really messed up. Because I'll tell you, I was, man. I had tennis elbow. I had Achilles tendonitis. I had, my knees were all out of whack. My lower back, just about every possible joint problem you can imagine was happening in my body. And if it wasn't for the anti-inflammatory drugs that they had me on there, I would have never got through it. Now, here's a quick aside. Miraculously, about 2 months into the 3 month course, and this isn't the major story, but this is a lesson in itself, and I have no idea what it means, but it's something for you to ponder. And I've explained this to a lot of people, and they don't know for sure either why it happened, but it did. One of my instructors said, he said, Joyner, he said, I want to see you off those drugs. He said, that's a bullshit crutch, you know, and I won't even say the other things he said because I've already cussed enough. You're seeing the soldier come out of me now. So, and I said, okay, I'll do it. Amazingly, I got off the anti-inflammatory drugs, and even through all of the physical punishing I was taking, all the punishment I was taking, I somehow had healed. That wasn't supposed to happen. The drugs were supposed to get me through it, and at the end I was supposed to get myself into some situation where I could let my body heal.
Right.
That was the plan. But somehow I healed. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'll allow you guys to discuss the metaphysics of that. So, now, here's the real story, though. This is how this guy impacted me, and it fits in with what you're saying. I went into sick call that day thoroughly expecting this guy to say, you know what, I'm just going to have to wash you out. Here's what he said to me. And he left the room, and I broke down and cried. He said, you know, I got to tell you, you know, you guys at Officer Candidate School and Ranger School, you guys are heroes. I just don't know how you do it. And he walked out.
Wow.
That statement completely transformed my life. In that moment, I said, what the hell are you doing? You know, he implanted, and I didn't understand the language of it at the time, what he did, but that man, perhaps unbeknownst to him, was an absolute master of language patterns.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, that was a use of language. It was so profound, because the presupposition there being, well, you know, either you're going to stick it out and be a hero, or you're going to wash out and be a zero, buddy. And, yeah. You know, the thought of being respected as a hero was big enough for me to endure any amount of pain. I said, you know what, it doesn't matter now. You know, this is like, all of a sudden I felt something that was bigger than my pain. So, having interaction with a teacher like that, even if it's just hearing their voice on a phone call or hearing the recording or whatever, sometimes those little words can absolutely transform them. Now, here's something I did. You know, knowing what you're saying there is so important. I've got a little thing called Simpleology Daily. That's something people can sign up for when they start the course. And every day I send something out to these guys, and the intention there is two things. One is I want to remind them to do their daily target practice that morning. And two, I want to touch them in a way that makes them say, wow, you know, okay, I can do this. Wow, my problems aren't so big anymore. Wow, you know, I feel really good about doing this now. Wow, so many possibilities. And I want to keep having that impact on them every single morning. And every day I write those myself. There's no way I'm going to task that out because I want that energy for me to pass on to people, you know, one-to-one. And I actually sit there and I push the button on that thing. I make it go out.
So,
yeah.
So that's something that when people sign up for Symbology 101, they can also sign up for these daily things.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And those are also free?
They're free as well. That's right. And I try to make it something very, very personal. You know, I try to pull something from my life. You know, for example, last week, you know, Da Vinci came, you know, back to mind again, and I brought some quotes out from Da Vinci that completely reinforced the ideas of Symbology and you know, it was intended to inspire people. You know, just this last weekend, I had the rare pleasure of being able to see the Fellowship of the Ring again, which was great. So the last 2 days.
Oh, Mark's gone again.
Looks like we dropped him off there for a second.
What was that?
Oh, there you are.
Back.
Hey,
you're back.
So you were saying the Fellowship of the Ring you saw in the last few days?
Yeah, and I was just fortunate enough to have a chance to see that again, and that film, you know, is just so wonderful. I don't think the other two are nearly as good, even though they're more visually dazzling, but I think that the more inspiring one is for sure that first movie. And there's some lines from that movie that just, when you hear them, they touch you, you know, in a very profound way. And because that was brought back to my attention again, I said, wow, okay, I'm going to share this with everyone. So every single one of those I try to make, you know, very, very personal. And I try to have it be something meaningful that I'm experiencing. You know, I don't like reading these newsletters where people just try to come up with any old junk. You know, Tellman, by the way, is great at this. You know, Tellman, you know, writes every little thing that he writes, you know, drawn from his life. It's something, you know, important. You know, it's something interesting that he's feeling in that moment.
Yeah.
And in a sense, you know, that's what we're doing there with those as well.
Wonderful. So, Mark, thank you so much for being with us and for spending this extra time with us. It really is a pleasure. And I want to, again, for our listeners, let you all know that you can take advantage of Mark's gift of the Simpleology course, the Simpleology 101 course, by going to Healthy Wealthy, the letter N is in Nancy, wise.com/joiner, J-O-Y-N-E-R. And you'll be able to learn the five laws of Simpleology and learn the daily target praxis, this 15-minute praxis that Mark has been talking about that can absolutely transform the results that are showing up in your life. And Mark, is there any last thought that you'd like to share before we close tonight?
Well, I would just like to give this back to you, you know, and just say that, you know, you guys are doing a wonderful thing here, and, you know, I was very impressed over these last couple of days when we got to know each other, you know, just the depth of understanding that you guys are demonstrating and the way that you guys are presenting all this information and the generosity that you're showing people. I very much, endorse the way you guys are doing business and the things that you're doing for people. So I would just like to leave them with a thanks to you guys for making all this possible for them.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you very much. And Tellman, thank you so much for being with us tonight and being such a great interviewer and a great inspiration as well for anyone who, no matter where you are. Tellman is a fabulous example, and again, go to listcrusade.com and if you haven't already, and experience, see what Tellman has created from absolutely being, I remember he tells the story of the fan that rattled as he sat in the cubicle in his living room that he had created in a makeshift way with his computer that he had to shake the CD drive to make it work. And now he is definitely a leader and has attracted people like Mark Joiner and other top people in the field of personal development and internet marketing. And Tellman, it's just always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Well, you know, without people like you, Chris, and you, Mark, you know, it wouldn't have happened. You have to pay attention to who you can learn from.
Okay. So, and for our listeners, I want to just remind you that in 2 weeks, on September 6th, we're going to be interviewing Byron Katie, the author of Loving What Is, and her latest book, I Need Your Love, Is That True? Byron Katie is one of Janet and my great mentors. She's an amazing woman. Her very simple four-step process of what she calls four questions and a turnaround, a simple process of investigation, has proved absolutely invaluable for tens of thousands of people around the world in undoing those beliefs which are not useful to you in your life. And we talked a little bit tonight about you can only really achieve what you're able to believe, and those beliefs which don't support you in getting where you want to go, Katie's process is one, and Katie, as in her life, is an inspiration in being able to undo those beliefs which are not useful, not helpful to you. And later in September, we'll be interviewing Debbie Allen, the author of Shameless Self-Promotion. And then in November, at the beginning of October, we have Jim Rohn, absolutely amazing giant in the field of public speaking and in the whole field of creating success. And then later in November, Paul Sheely of Learning Strategy. So we have absolutely an incredible upcoming list of interviewees, guests, and we look forward to being with you
in the weeks to come. So I'm going to open up the lines and say goodnight, and thank you, everyone, for being with us.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.